If you take your Bibles, and for the time that we have left tonight, I just want you to open to Psalm 119. I'm just going to take a few minutes with you here in Psalm 119. I want you to look down at verse number 97, down to verse 101. This is a beautiful, beautiful psalm. And some of you already know that Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. It has 176 verses, and all of them but three mention the Word of God in some way. That's why I love this chapter. I love it because it teaches me to be devoted to the Word of God. Once there was a little boy who was 9 years old, and he was challenged to memorize Psalm 119. His pastor said, I want you to memorize it. I want you to take a verse a day, and if you do that, you can win a Bible. Well, that little boy took that challenge, and he did meditate and memorize Psalm 119, and that little boy grew up to be David Livingstone, the great missionary. You see, the Word of God put his heart on fire. And also I heard about another little boy. His father was a preacher, and his father said to this little boy, he said, Matthew, if you just read the Psalm 119, and you memorize one verse a day, and you can fall in love with the Scripture if you'll meditate and read on this. And he did do that, and this young man did fall in love with Scripture, and we know him today as Matthew Henry. Have you heard that name before? The great commentary that all of us have perhaps read from. I love it also because this is a masterpiece of alliteration. Did you know that in Psalm 119, if you look at it closely, there are 22 sections in Psalm 119. And you'll notice that right before each section, there's a Hebrew word, which is really the Hebrew letter of the alphabet. You see, there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. We have 26, of course, in ours, but 22 in Hebrew. And if in the Hebrew, all of these verses, and those sections start with that Hebrew letter. For instance, in verse 1, blessed is the Hebrew word asher, which starts with A. And that means in Hebrew, every one of those verses start with A. Then you go to section B or Beit. Each one of those verses start with the Hebrew letter B. And then so on, Gimel, which is our letter G, they all start with that same Hebrew letter. You understand? It is a masterpiece of alliteration. And done so on purpose. To give just a beautiful symmetry and poetry to the psalmist's love for the Word of God. But now, with all that in mind, I want you to look in verse number 97. Notice what it says. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And through thy commandments, thou hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my delight. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Now the theme of this section here is the theme of wisdom and understanding. We see that word understanding or wiser in verse number 98. Understanding in verse number 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers. In verse 100, there's the word understanding. But these are actually three different Hebrew words. One of them, the first one in verse 98, wiser means to act wisely. In verse 99, sakal just means to comprehend. And verse 100 and 104 is the word ben, which means to discern. So to act wisely, to comprehend, to discern. And that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about wisdom. Now, to the Hebrews, wisdom was more than just intellectual knowledge. A lot of times when we hear the word wisdom, we think about intellect, but it's more than just IQ. To the Hebrews, it was skill in living. You can have a whole lot of knowledge and yet not be skillful in your living, skillful in applying it. Wisdom is this idea of taking wisdom and skillfully using it. Now, I've met people that have high IQs, that have great knowledge. They're like a computer. They can absorb information, but somehow they can't process that information and they can't live wisely. I have gone to seminaries with guys who are just incredibly brilliant people, but they don't have enough sense to get out of the rain. Now, I'm sure all of us have met people like that. Incredible intellect, yet they're not skillful in applying that. And then on the other hand, I've met people that don't know how to read, and yet they have incredible wisdom. Just an incredible wisdom. They can discern, they can understand, they can apply truth. That's what is embodied in these words when it's referring to wisdom. It is something that comes from God. God gives us the ability to discern, to comprehend, and to act skillfully or to act wisely. Spurgeon said it's the right use of knowledge. And so there's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is needed to pass the test in school. Wisdom is needed to pass the test in life. Knowledge is learned. Wisdom is given. Someone said knowledge comes by looking around. Wisdom comes by looking up. Now, I heard about a man who was a wealthy gold miner. He had a very intelligent son who was destined to take over the family business and inherit his father's fortune. And so he sent this intelligent son to the best university to get the best education. And he graduated with honors. He graduated, with a perfect grade point average. And when he came back, he said, "Father, now give me your best mind." And the father said, "No, wait a minute. I'm going to start you from the bottom. I want you to be able to see everything from the ground up." That's what understanding actually means, looking at it from the ground up. Get the whole picture, and then you'll be ready. He said, "Father, with all due respect, I know more than you and these men around here will ever know." So the father said, "Okay." So he gave him his best mind. After he was working it for a few weeks, he called his father and he said, "You know the mine you gave me? It's backed up to the lake. Well, water is seeping in through a hole. I need you to tell me what to do." And the father didn't respond. He called him a few weeks later and said, "Father, you know my problem. Water is leaking in. We're going to lose the mine if you don't respond." And still the father was silent. Finally, the third time he said, "You have to answer me or we're going to lose this." And finally the father said, "Stick your diploma in that hole and plug it up." Now, I'm not against education. I'm for it. But, friend, I want to tell you something. There's a wisdom that you don't get with a diploma. You get it only from Almighty God. And that's what he's talking about here. Now, with all that in mind, I want you just to see two things tonight, real quickly. If you're taking notes, write down the scriptural way to wisdom. We'll talk about that. And then we're going to talk about the spiritual wealth of wisdom. First of all, the scriptural way. Look again in verse 97. "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Now, all true wisdom, as I said, is given by God. But in Scripture, we see basically four sources or four ways that God dispenses his wisdom. Now, first of all, there's prayer. We already know that in James, right? James says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him what? Ask of God. And God will give it to you liberally." I'm so glad we have a God who is compassionate, who will give us wisdom when we need it. So, friend, if you need wisdom, all you have to do is pray. That's one way. But there's a second way, and that's by being around wise people. Write down Proverbs 13:20. "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise." This is called the principle of association. And the scripture says, look, if you just hang around wise people, you're going to get some of that yourself. You're going to glean some of that. Parents, wise parents, wise people, wise pastors, all of those are people in which we glean wisdom from. I heard about a little boy who went to his father. He said, "Dad, who made God?" And the father said, who was reading the evening paper, he said, "Son, I don't know." He said, "Dad, is there life on other planets?" He said, "Son, I don't know." He said, "Dad, why is the earth round?" He said, "Son, I don't know that answer to that question." He said, finally, the boy said, "Dad, does it bother me that I ask you all these questions?" And the father put his paper down. He said, "Well, no, son. How else are you going to learn if you don't ask questions?" Now, you have to ask the right people, right? And you have to be around wise people if you're going to get wisdom. By the way, that's the reason I love to read biographies. I love to read of great Christians, great older saints. And just, you can learn so much from wise people. But now here's another way, not only prayer and wise people, but also reproofs of life. Write down Proverbs 16:31. "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise." We could simply say it like this. We learn from our mistakes. The ear that hears the reproof of life. It's what happens when you do something, you make a mistake, and life will reprove you. Life will chastise you because of a mistake that you made. And so you learn through your mistakes, at least I hope that we do. A young man was 32 years old and became president of a bank, and he was a bit intimidated by that. So he went to the chairman of the board, and he said, "You know, I've just been appointed president. I would really like for you to give me some advice." And the chairman just said one word. He said, "Right decisions." He said, "Yes, I understand that." He said, "But how do I make right decisions?" And he just said, "Experience." He said, "Well, yeah, that's why I'm here. I'm asking you, how can I get some experience?" He said, "Wrong decisions." You see, you make wrong decisions, you get experience, and then you make right decisions. That's what Proverbs is talking about. The ear that hears the reproof of life abides among the wise. Now, those are all good sources, but let me tell you the chief source of wisdom. It's the Word of God. God's Word. How do wise people get wise in the first place? The Word of God. How do we learn from our mistakes? We have to learn from Scripture. The mistakes that we made, that they're even mistakes. How do we pray for wisdom? The Bible says in James, we pray in faith, and we get faith from the Word of God. So God's Word is our chief source. Just write down Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So God's Word makes wise. In the book of Ezra, when Ezra was standing before Artaxerxes, he was getting ready to go back to Jerusalem to govern. And Artaxerxes said this in Ezra 7:25. He said, "And thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God, which is in thy hand, you rule." What did he have in his hand? He had the Word of God in his hand. Even Artaxerxes recognized that this book is the wisdom of God. Now, what do we have to do with it? Well, look again in verse 97. "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation." Here's the first thing. You have to appreciate it. You have to love God's Word. You want to get wise, love the Word of God. Do you have a love for Scripture? Just a love for the Word of God. You know, of course, growing up here at Grace and being preached to as a teenager, I developed that. But when I went to college, you know, the Lord just kind of turned it up a notch in me. I remember one time sitting in college, we had a specialist come in who was a specialist in the English Bible. And he began to talk about how we got our English Bible. And he began to tell story after story of how the Bible basically was given to us through a sea of blood of martyrs. And the reason you even have the Word of God today is because of the blood and the courage of many of those martyrs. And I'm telling you, at that service, the Lord just did something in my heart. I'm not ashamed to tell you, I cried in that service to think about we have the Bible because of those people. And it was just like the Lord just kind of ripped the veil off my eyes. Now, I always believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God here, but God did something in my heart about that. And I want to tell you, folks, I believe every word of Scripture is inspired by God. And God gave me a love for the Word of God. And I think that that's the first step. You have to love the Scripture. I was reading about one actress, Julia Roberts. She was asked what object she values the most. This is what she said. She said, "I have a letter from my daddy." She said, "The only letter that I managed not to lose as a child." And she said, "If anybody ever took that away from me, I would just be destroyed." She said, "It doesn't mean anything to anyone else, yet I can read that letter 10 times a day, and it moves me in a different way every time." When I read that, I thought about, you know what? We have a letter from our Father, don't we? Amen. And boy, it moves us. And it's the eternal Word of God that we should love. So first of all, we have to love it. And the psalmist does. And I don't have time to show you all the verses. They're there. You just read it. But secondly, appropriate it. We've got to get it into our life. We've got to apply it. Look at verse 103. "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Now, he's using an analogy. He's saying that reading and studying the Word of God is like eating honey. That was the sweetest thing you could eat back in that day. To eat honey, and it also gave you a lot of energy. And so he's saying that this is just wonderful. It's sweet. And here's the idea. You have to get into it. You have to read it. You have to meditate on it. You have to study it. You'll never fall in love with Scripture if you don't get into it. But when you read it, and by the way, it reads you back when you read it, and God speaks to your heart, you're going to love God's Word even more. So you appreciate it, you appropriate it, and here's the next thing I say, you assimilate it. Look again at verse 97. "It is my meditation all the day." The psalmist said, "I just think about it all the time." Now, the mind is a very powerful thing, and we become what we think about. You know that? The Bible says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, what? So is he." And when you think about something, you begin to become that very thing or act out that very thing. Someone said, "Sow a thought, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a life. Sow a life, reap a destiny." And so meditation is just to constantly think about it over and over again in your mind. It comes from a Hebrew word which means to speak to oneself. It comes from a word that means to murmur in pleasure, or something that just goes around in your head again and again, and just you keep thinking it, you keep rolling it over in your mind. That's meditation. You're constantly thinking it over and over again in the mind. And by the way, meditation is the bridge between information and application. We're talking about wisdom, right? Wisdom is more than just downloading information. You have to apply it. And the bridge between information and application is meditation, right? Joshua said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Why? "That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." You know what he was saying? You think about it long enough, you're going to start to do it. You're going to start to live it out. And remember, that is wisdom there. It is living it out in your life. And so this is the scriptural way to wisdom. Then let me give you number two quickly. The spiritual wealth of wisdom. You say, what will happen if I do that? Well, God will give you wisdom. How much? Well, he'll give you wisdom over your enemies. Look in verse 98. "And through thy commandments, thou hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me." You say, I don't have any enemies. You are if you're a child of God. You have, you were going the same direction as the world. When you got saved, you turned around and now you're in collision with the world. And not only that, you have the devil. And although he is a defeated foe, we march from victory. We don't go unto victory. We already have the victory in Christ. However, he is a very wise person. And he knows how to hit you at your vulnerable points. He knows how to bring you down. In fact, the Bible says of him in Ezekiel 28, "Thou sealest up the sum, perfect in wisdom." Now, how do you defeat a foe that's perfect in wisdom? You have to get wise yourself. And Napoleon said, knowing the enemy is half the battle. We have a book that exposes the enemy. That's why Satan hates the Bible. That's why he would have you to believe that this Bible is not relevant. That's why he would have you to believe that Genesis is a myth and Revelation is a mystery. He doesn't want you to know those things. Because, friend, these are the books of Scripture that expose him, that show him for what he is. And so we have a book that gives us wisdom over our enemies, but then also over our educators. Look at verse 99. "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." How many can say that? I have more understanding than my teacher. Now, I think the secular world today believes that they have cornered the market on education, and they look down their nose on Christians who know the Bible. But I want to tell you, if you know the Word of God, you've got more education than any secular PhD, because you have the wisdom of Almighty God. Science is constantly changing. God's Word never changes. It is always the same. I was listening to a news report, maybe you heard it this morning, about some of the crazy subjects that some colleges and universities are teaching. Did you hear about that? Let me just read you what some of the subjects and classes. You can go to college and get this class if you need it. Taxi driver yoga. Here's another class called Stupidity. That's just the name of the class. Super Smash Brothers Melee Theory and Practice. This is where you can go and learn how to play a video game. Alien Microeconomics. This is at UNC, University of North Carolina. That's where you play a video game to learn the course. And then there's another one, and I can just go on here, all kind of crazy classes that they're offering. The Science of Harry Potter. There's a good one for you. There's a class on the Beatles. You know what all that is? That's a waste of time. It's ridiculous. And yet, some will say, we have more understanding than any Christian. Friend, if you know the Word of God, you have more understanding than your teachers. God's Word. That is, if they don't know the Lord Jesus. Thank God for Christian teachers who know the Word of God. And so, what else? How much wisdom do I get over my enemies, over my educators, but over my elders? Look in verse number 100. "I have more understanding than the ancients." I know some elderly folks might not appreciate that word ancient there, but it's just meaning those who have been around for a long time, those living and those dead, those who have been around and have the experience of age. Friend, just because you live a long time doesn't necessarily mean you have a lot of wisdom. The Bible says the hoary head, the gray head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Now, if you've been living a righteous life in the Word of God, you've got a lot of wisdom and experience. But here the psalmist, he's living in a pagan culture. All around them, there are very older people, and yet he just knows the Word of God. And he says, you know what? Just because I know the Word of God, I have more understanding than these experienced elderly people because of the Word of God. You can have wisdom beyond your years. But then notice also over evil. Look at verse 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way. You know what God's Word teaches you? It teaches you to look for the hook that Satan gives when he puts out the bait. You know, Satan always makes sin look good. He always allures you with the bait, the right kind of bait. And he'll have you to believe that sin is fun, it's exciting. But friend, when you learn the Word of God, you know how to look for the hook. You learn that what evil is. And so you learn to refrain your feet from evil. But then also along this over-enticement, verse 102, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. He says, I'm not getting out of a line. I'm not getting out of the way of your word. I'm not transgressing. I'm not departing. I'm staying on the path. I'm not letting anything entice me or get me off the path. You see, that's what God's word will do for you. If you're in the Word of God, it'll keep you straight on the path so that you don't veer to the left or to the right. You won't depart out of it. God's word will keep you if you keep it in your heart. And then notice the next thing, not only evil and enticement, but then finally over error. Look at verse 104. Through thy precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. You know, we have a lot of false cults and religions in this world. Someone says, well, if the Bible's true, why do we have so many false religions and false cults? Well, friend, that just proves the Bible is true. You know why? Listen to what the Bible says. For many deceivers are entered into the world. Jesus said, for many false prophets, this is Matthew 24:11, many false prophets shall arise. 2 John 1:7, for many deceivers. The Bible prophesied that. Wherever God gives his truth, Satan will sow seeds of error. He loves false religion. And he wants to get people out of the way. You say, well, how can I stay in the right way? How can I avoid from going into error? I can't learn all those false religions and all those false cults. Friend, you don't have to. All you have to do is just learn the truth. And you know what will happen? As you learn the Word of God, you'll recognize error as soon as it pops its head. God will give you that discernment, and you'll be able to say, that's a lie. That's not what the Scripture says. That's not what the Word of God says. You know how they train FBI agents? They don't, to detect counterfeit money, they don't give counterfeit money. They just give them the real thing. And they make them study that so that when they get counterfeit money in their hand, they know it immediately. And friend, that is the way it is with God's people. That's why we need the Word of God. So we see then the scriptural way to wisdom. We appreciate it. We appropriate it. We assimilate it in our life. And then the spiritual wealth of wisdom. God's word gives me wisdom over enemies, over my educators, over my elders, over evil, over enticement, over all the error that is out there. Friend, we have a wealth of wisdom right here in the Word of God if we'll just use it. Let's bow for prayer tonight. And so, Father, we thank you for this wonderful word. Lord, help us to see that the reason to love this book is because it's from you. And Lord, it's learning more of you. To learn the Word of God is to learn you. Lord, we're not trying to be scholars. And this book to us isn't just a textbook. It is a love letter so that we can know you and we can love you with all our mind. As this hymn writer said, beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. And we love your word because it teaches us about you. And so, Father, help us tonight to just, if we've gotten to the point to where God's word has gotten old, Lord, renew our passion and our love to know you through Scripture. This is how you have chosen to reveal yourself to us. And so, Lord, may we be committed to loving you again with all of our mind. May we never lay the Bible aside and let our mind get filled with things that should not be filled with. Lord, keep us in the Word. Keep us walking in your direction, loving you. May it be so for every believer tonight. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.